Good evening, everyone. It is June 8th, 2021. It is 6 p.m., and this is a work session for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Can we please call the roll, Kim?
Sure. Assembly members David Powell.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Ryan Powell. Dalrymple.
Here.
And Anderson.
And I'm here as well. Tonight's work session, and I'm a little bit discombobulated here, Lisa. This is the budget work session. Fiscal year 2022, sorry. This is a budget work session for fiscal year 2022 for the budget of the City and Borough of Wrangell. And with that, we've had a handout that's gone out. Does anybody need a copy of this handout? Cindy, did you get a copy?
Yeah. I don't have one.
Anne? We can make sure everybody has a copy. Thanks, Kim.
I'm going to have everybody actually turn to the second page first.
Perfect. And Lisa, second page
as in
page two.
No, I'm sorry. As in the actual second
page. Oh, okay. Sounds good.
You can pull them apart if you want. Great. It's the one that says sales tax revenue on the top.
Perfect. All right. And Lisa, we'll let you take it over and keep on track here. Thank you.
Do you want me to wait till copies are received? Or do you?
No, I think we can go ahead. Are you okay with that, Cindy?
So for the listening public and for the assembly, I just want to remind everybody that when we take in sales tax revenue each year, it is split into three different segments. We automatically, and these segments, these amounts, percentages are set in the municipal code. So automatically 68% of that is transferred into the general fund as a transfer, as a form of revenue into the general fund. 4% of that is reserved for streets. And 28% of that is what I call the HSE reserve, health, sanitation, and education. And for many years, the HSE portion of the sales tax fund was used only for school purposes. We paid for the local contribution out of that amount and also bonded indebtedness, the school bond debt that we had. And we took that school bond debt out this year. So if you go to the under where it says general fund up there, you can see it says general fund 68%. What I have is for you the calculations of sales tax revenue out of our AccuFund system for the last three fiscal years, including this one. We took in, I'm not confident about this FY19 number. I apologize for that. The FY20 number, I'm pretty confident about.
Excuse me.
That's right.
Thank you.
So that is a significantly higher number than we're used to seeing in terms of sales tax revenue. And then year to date so far, we have taken in 68% of what we've taken in sales tax revenue equals $2.5 million. What we budgeted this year in sales tax revenue, the 68% in the general fund, is 1.88. So you can see there we have that's the total sales tax revenue we've taken in. We budgeted to take in 1.88, and we've taken in just over $2.5 million in sales tax revenue. What that equates to when you do a transfer to the general fund of 68% is $1.7 million. What we budgeted in that transfer this year is $1.283 million. So for the FY22 budget, I took a three-year running average of FY19, 20, and 21 for both the full sales tax revenue budget and the transfer to the general fund. So that's what you see right there in the 2.6 and 1.772. These sales tax numbers, I want to remind you, only represent the sales tax revenue locally for the first three quarters of the fiscal year. We still have one more quarter of the fiscal year to go, and that revenue will not be fully into us until the end of July. The folks have 30 days in which to, after the close of the fiscal year, to get that to us. So we won't have that fourth quarter number until the end of July. It only includes remote seller sales tax, which we're going to go over here, July through March. So that's through the fiscal year starting in July through March of this year. It does include taxes on our utility billing through May. It only includes port and harbor taxes on services through January. And it only includes taxes on Nolan Center services through March. Admittedly, those aren't nearly as much, but port and harbor taxes on services can be significant. So there's a significant amount of sales tax yet to come in this fiscal year. So based on what we have in terms of actuals year to date, I'm going to take you through, if we were to get no more sales tax revenue this year, which as I just pointed out, we're going to, this is where we would be, I believe, in the streets reserve portion of the sales tax fund and in the health, sanitation, and education portion of the sales tax fund. So the beginning reserve was estimated for this year just over $450,000. We budgeted to take $100,000 of that and transfer it into the general fund for the streets budget. That transfer has not been made yet, but it will be. And if we, based on our current year-to-date actual, if we took 4% of that, the revenue back into that portion of the sales tax fund would be $100,144, roughly. So that puts us at an estimated ending streets reserve at the end of this fiscal year at $455. Do you have a question?
No. Okay. Somebody have a question over here?
Oh, I do. On port and harbor, you say the sales tax is through January.
So that has to be manually inputted into the AccuFund system because it's taken in through the system that the harbor has. We have that money. It just hasn't been manually input.
Okay. That was my question.
Yeah. That's one of the gaps that we have right now.
And then there's another software system with the Nolan Center. Is that the other one?
They have a point. They use a Square for.
Okay.
Cine sends that over daily in an email. And what we found, unfortunately, is that rather than all of those revenues being broken into the appropriate accounts, like concessions for movies, you know, museum revenue and sales taxes on those things, it was all being lumped into one account. So Robbie is going through and separating all of those back out with journal entries. So that's why we're only done through March with the sales tax.
Okay, and then so we only have three different systems. Is that correct?
Parks and Rec has a different system. System as well.
Yeah. Okay, so we have four different.
We have four systems. Different accounting systems.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, Patty. Just if I could just mention, folks, I'm sort of listening in, and I'm not really. I've got to get used again to notice. So please just speak up if you've got a question.
Okay, we need to give everybody a little blue hand.
Yeah, a little yellow hand to come up.
Any questions? Any other questions so far? Okay, so the beginning reserve in the health, sanitation, and education reserve this year was estimated at $1.61 million. We had budgeted about $275,000 in debt service. Our actual payment this year was $266,875. That includes principal and interest. So it was a little bit less than we budgeted. The reason that is highlighted in pink is because even though the debt service payment has been made, the transfer from the sales tax fund into the debt service fund has not been made yet, but it will be, obviously. We also annually take $30,000 out of the HSE reserve and put that into the pools budget, and that pays for the utilities, correct, for the school? Is that right, Kate?
I do not know the answer to that for certain.
That has been that $30,000 transfer has been happening since long before I came, so I'll confirm what exactly that's being used for.
It is being used for utilities. I just wasn't clear on where exactly that's coming from. Sorry.
Okay, so utilities then for sure. And then the assembly originally budgeted $90,000 as what we thought might be match funding for the Baylor project this year, but we ended up adding to that for a total project budget for the Baylor of $623,873, and so that has come out of the HSE reserve as well. Based on year-to-date actuals for sales tax, 28% of that is $701,000. again, that's if we took in no more sales tax revenue yet this year, which would leave us with an ending reserve balance of almost $842,000. So we know we're going to get more money in the fourth quarter, and for all of these things up here that I said have not been factored in yet. So again, if we use the estimated ending reserve balances for this year based on no more additional revenue coming in, and we start the following fiscal year, FY22, with that beginning reserve balance. If we say we're going to go ahead and transfer $100,000 to streets again, we are estimated, based on what I have projected in sales tax revenue for next year, to take in just over $104,000 as the 4%, which would put the ending streets reserve at the end of FY22 at $454,819.50. Similarly, for the health, sanitation, and education reserve, if you take the estimated ending balance for FY21 and pop it to the top for the beginning reserve balance for 22, we have no debt service. We have paid we made our last debt service payment this year, so that $265,000-$275,000 is an expenditure we don't have next year. And if you put the transfer to the pool in there, and you'll see here I added $150,000 in the line item next to the Baylor project. And the reason that I did that is I explained in my KYP a couple of days ago to the assembly that I thought the costs for us to do the pre-planning work for the divestiture of the solid waste division was probably going to cost at least $150,000 or so. And the fund can't afford that. So my recommendation is that we take it from the HSE reserve and the sales tax fund. So that's just tentatively in there right now. So given those two expenditures, and based on my estimates for next year in terms of sales tax revenue, if we add 28% of that back into the budget, we're looking at an ending reserve of almost $1.4 million for next year for the health, sanitation, and education portion of the budget. I know that's a lot. Any questions? And again, these numbers are going to change because I'm basing these all on the year-to-date actuals, not what we know we're going to take in.
Any questions from anyone? Good.
So if you want to turn that page over, you can see it says remote seller sales tax. This is a spreadsheet that shows all of the remote seller sales tax that we have taken in since the beginning of the commission, which was March of 2020. And again, I want to remind the assembly and the listening public that this does not include Amazon. Amazon is remitting directly to us for all of the things that they sell directly, that they fulfill themselves. For those things where Amazon acts as a marketplace administrator selling for small shops, smaller independent vendors, that is coming through and is remitted through the Remote Seller Sales Tax Commission. So what you have here is gross sales that are reported to us, the net taxable sales, the tax collected, any penalties and interest, which is obviously nominal, the fees associated with it, and then the net receivable. So the gross tax collected since March, since its inception, is just over $192,000. For this fiscal year, $161,500. Net receivable, after all fees, $158,500, essentially, and for this fiscal year to date, $134,759, and that again does not include April, May, and June of this fiscal year yet. We're at about roughly a month and a half, sometimes a 2 month lag to get the data through the Remote Seller Sales Tax Commission. So I expect April's numbers here shortly. But that just, and please feel free to take a look at this. And again, as a reminder to everybody, the reason why the Remote Seller Sales Tax Commission was set up is because you have to have a minimum in your community in for each individual vendor to remit directly to you. And that is a minimum of 100 transactions or I think $100,000 in sales. And so for most vendors, we, for Wrangle, we would never get that. And so the only way we would take in this revenue is by being a member of the commission. And so this is $158,000 we would not have seen otherwise.
Dave?
So that remote, the commission that does this, they are the ones, we don't have to do anything for, like if Petersburg sells or Ketsetska sells here or anything, they take care of all that. They make sure it's being done, and any penalties, they do it. Okay.
All of it, and we get a list, or we get a sheet that, and I'm happy to provide this sheet to anyone. We have a summary sheet that shows how much gross sales tax revenue we took in for each month, what each of the fees are, and then what the net is. But for us also internally, we get a list of every vendor who has paid, has reported out for our community for that month. Not only do we get a list, but we get a copy of that sales tax form that they have, their reporting form that they've reported to the commission. So we have all of that data to be able to audit it if we needed to. And they, as you can see here, they, the gross sales are reported and then what's taxable. So we are getting not only the what is taxable sales, but all not, they're, the folks who are reporting through the commission are reporting all sales. And then they are they have to say whether it's taxable or non-taxable and give the reason. So that's all reported on the form as well.
So Lisa, if, and I'm going to use Dave's company as an example, somebody over in Petersburg phones Dave up and says, I want a motor, can you ship it over to me? And he sells that motor, does that sales tax go over to Petersburg?
And he has to report to the exchange on that.
Okay. And vendors are aware of that?
Dave can tell you a heck of a lot better than I can, but yes.
You're aware of that?
We are aware of that.
They can get after you on it?
Yeah, I think it's the end of July or end of June. If you don't do it, you are going to be paying all the back taxes yourself.
Wow.
And I just... But a lot of people, what was hard for a lot of people, Lisa and I would just make a suggestion that somehow we make something to the paper or the radio. Basically, you no longer have designated shippers now out of Wrangle. Okay, so before, if I shipped it on the ferry, there was no taxes collected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is all gone now. There is no way that someone can avoid the tax. The only way it can be done is they sent me a list of all the towns that are on this commission, mm-hmm. and it's a lot.
Yeah.
So anytime I sell something in one of those towns, I have to collect that tax. But if it's outside of that, they're not on that list, then that does still come into play.
No, like if Anchorage, if you sell something
Anchorage
to Anchorage,
is on that list.
It shouldn't be on that list.
They don't have a sales tax.
Yeah, they're on that list. And I know they are. It says zero sales tax, but they're on the list.
Oh.
But they're on the list because it's on the alphabetical. And Anchorage is on top of it.
Splitting hairs here.
Yeah, well.
So.
What I'm saying is, like Port Alexander.
Yeah.
Okay, I sell stuff to something to Pillars down there. They are not on this list. They do not, they don't do anything.
They're not a member of the commission.
Exactly. So if my plane flies something out to them, okay. They pay the shipping on that. I do not collect taxes for that. They're a common carrier.
Okay,
that's still in play. But now there's no such thing as common carriers to anybody on that list. That's gone now. Because it used to be a common carrier like Eric Yancey to Petersburg. I never collected tax on that because he's a common carrier.
So that's gone now.
So that's that's the way I would understand it.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of people understand that. I don't think that a lot of the community understands that. I don't think a lot of the Southeast understands that.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry.
I just have a question. So it used to be we would sell something in Sitka to a tourist coming in, and if we shipped it, they didn't have to pay sales tax.
That's correct.
So that's gone.
That's absolutely gone.
Or if you ordered something from, say, I lived here and I ordered something in Sitka and it was shipped here, that's gone too. So that sales tax,
Well, interestingly, I bought some dive gear recently and it was shipped out of Florida. And we're on that list, right? We're Wrangell's on the list, and they didn't collect any city sales tax on that item. But I phoned the company directly. I didn't buy it through Amazon or anybody else. I just phoned the company directly, and they shipped me in. And my what I paid was what the internet price was, is what I paid for the gear I bought. So it's falling down somewhere because I should pay city sales tax on that for the city.
That's correct.
See, that is happening.
I can show you the receipt on that. But it was out of Florida, shipped all the way from Florida.
Let me ask AML how they are continuing to, because they knew it was going to take a while for vendors. You know, if this is one of the first times that vendor has sold in Alaska, they, who knows? So let me find out what they're doing with out-of-state vendors.
I agree, Steve. I've ordered stuff directly from the vendor, and they don't pick it up.
Yeah.
So,
and then Lisa, do the vendors, are they supposed to adhere to that $3,000 cap?
Okay. AML has all of that information.
Okay. I have a list on my computer that has all the taxes, all the caps, everything. And believe it or not, we are extremely high.
Our cap is?
Yes.
Our cap is high.
I will bring you the list.
Our cap is higher than most places in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, this idea may not go over well then. What
please don't not present that idea.
No, I'm not going to not present it. So one of the things I'd like to float, and obviously taxes are never a good thing to talk about, but we have dodged a bullet this year with the state. We, as was reported to the assembly previously this year, we expected there to be a sales tax put forward. But when the feds came out with the stimulus bills, the state legislature was able to kick that can down the road and not have to worry about new revenues again this year to be able to manage the state budget. I don't think that's going to be the case next year. We may be able to float one more year on the tailcoats of this federal stimulus money, but it's coming in a couple of years. And one of the things that we're hearing, or a couple of things that we're hearing, is that the state is going to do a sales tax that is going to have no cap and no exemptions or any of these things. And so what that does is it puts local municipalities in a very awkward position to have tax collected for the state in a different mechanism as tax collected for the local municipality, with exemptions on a portion of it and not on others. So it's just weird. And so one of the things actually that the mayor and I talked about, and I think then we had a conversation with the entire assembly, is, you know, if we had an understanding of what our total economic activity in this community is, we wouldn't be able to know if we could, let's say, just go to a straight sales tax with no cap and lower the sales tax. And I think this is especially relevant when the state comes forward with theirs. The only way we're going to know this is if we get rid of the cap. I am not suggesting that we get rid of the cap and keep it at 7%. So I have a couple of ideas for the assembly that I'd just want to float to you. One would be, we keep the cap at $3,000 for the 7%, and then in order to get an understanding of what our total economic activity is here, we say anything $3,001 and above is a 0.5% or 1%. The other idea that I was thinking about is that we do something that is tiered, which is 7% to the first $3,000. Excuse me, we raise the cap. Go from 3,000 to 10,000 at 7%. Anything 10,000 and above to 100,000 is, let's say, 2.5% or 3% sales tax. And then anything $100,001 and above is 0.5% or 1%.
So here's the missing piece there for me when you and I had our discussion. The missing piece, I think, whatever we do should make us whole. should not bring us beyond whole. So if the state comes in and they say, we're putting in a 3% sales tax, and basically they're going to rob 3% of our 7, and that equates out to be X amount of dollars, whatever scheme we come up with needs to bring us back to whole, to zero, not above zero. So I don't want to view this as an opportunity to make a tax grab. So if we lose $200,000 in taxes, whatever scheme we develop needs to replace the $200,000. We don't want to go above that. Or if we, if there's an assessment done and it says, well, actually we could probably make this work at $100,000, then it's $100,000. That makes sense, Lisa?
It absolutely does. I guess I would offer this. I am in agreement with you. We don't want to raise taxes just so that we're taking in more money. That's not the issue. But what doing this does is allows us to understand where the full revenue is coming from. And what's going through my mind is especially things like the Marine Service Center.
Yeah.
Then we change the code where our allocations are. So we know that there is X amount of activity in the Marine Service Center, and that's generating X amount of dollars. We can allocate money that comes from the Marine Service Center back into the Marine Service Center so that we make sure we have enough money to purchase a new ASCOM at $1 million when that thing is, ready to be surplus.
Another example would be the cruise ship and bulk sales of tours.
That's correct.
So, they're basically paying the $3,000 cap on, and I don't know what the average sales per those tours would be, but let's say it's $100,000 in sales. They're capped out at $3,000. So the actual community, but I like the idea of saying we're going to raise that cap in an area, the marine yard or let's say the cruise ship industry, and we're going to take some of those dollars and rebuild the infrastructure required for that industry. So we're going to do more dockage, or we're going to do some kind of pavilion down here that makes the world nicer for folks visiting. But the Marine Service Yard has been a concern of mine for years. And last year, Steve pulled my son's boat, and we had a great talk about it. And the costs of the equipment replacement, which I don't think we're staying up, well, and it's everybody's department.
Everybody's
we're not department. Keeping up with the deferred maintenance and the capital replacement. And we can't do that to folks down the road. It's just patently unfair. So I really like the idea of targeting some of those taxes back to the areas.
Mr. Murray.
Yes, go ahead, Dave.
But here's the problem. You can't tax. When you're going to do that, you have to use that like a user's fee. You're going to up the fees of electricity. You're going to up the fees of pulling the boat. You can't tax that. That's not right to tax. I don't think you can actually tax that industry by itself.
No, I'm not suggesting that.
So you're talking about raising the tax to everybody in the community, but now, let me get this straight. You got a $3,000 cap, okay? And I'll tell you why, one of the reasons why I fought really hard, even the $3,000 I didn't fight very hard, but they wanted to go to $10,000. You can't make it where somebody could call Seattle and ship something here.
Cheaper. We get the tax anyways. That used to be the story. It's not the story anymore. You can call Seattle and get it cheaper, but we're still going to get the tax. So if your base price is the same as Seattle or slightly higher, we're going to get the tax.
Well, I would go along with that 100%, but you just told me that a company didn't tax you. If it's 100% flawless, I'll go along with it.
Right.
If it's not, I won't go along with it.
Right, and that's what Lisa's going to check into, and I'll get you the names of the companies that I bought from you, because it's been several.
I'll find out from AML how they're handling, the out-of-state vendors and what that looks like in terms of bringing people on.
But you're right, David, that used to be the story, because I would get hammered 7% here, and it was like Amazon. Everybody bought on Amazon because I didn't pay city sales tax and free shipping. So you're paying the shipping and the sales tax, so you're more expensive. Well, now that shouldn't be the case, except for shipping still, but...
Yeah. I have a hard time of raising taxes of any amount. I mean, after looking at whatever all these things that they sent out and the caps that all the other towns have. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of them have zero cap.
Mm-hmm.
There are towns out there with zero cap on there. Most of them, and I don't want to speak out of turn, because I mean, I'm just thinking of there's some thousands, there's some 12s, there's 15s. There's some 12,000s too. You know, there's 1,200 ones. But I would rather like look at that. We have to know what the state is doing before we say, let's just do
well,
this.
No. So what I was hoping to try to do is have an understanding of how much economic activity we have. That would be so that if we were to do something like keep the cap for 7% at $3,000, but anything 3,000 and above 3,001 on would be a 0.5%, that would allow us to know what the economic activity is. Once we know that, let's say we have, I'm making stuff up, we have $1 billion of activity here. We know if we went to a straight sales tax with no cap, let's say the state's going to come in with no cap, we want to do the same thing as the state is doing for ease. They're going to come in with a 2% sales tax. We know we can eliminate our cap and go to a 4% sales tax reduction from 7 and catch everything and get all the revenue we need. That's what that information gives us. And we do it at the same time the state rolls it out, so it's one fluid change rather than being, you know.
It's hard for me to tell people that we're going to do this just to figure out what we're going to do later on. And that's very hard for me.
So if you remove that from the equation, and this is where I said, I don't want to make more money, I just want to replace what we lose from the state. But by the same token, like the Marine Service Yard, we know there's certain capital assets that we have that in order for this town to stay viable, we're going to have to replace. And to me, our assets are our harbors and the Marine Service Yard and our tourist facilities. Those are really strong assets for us. But you're right, David. We have to know that number first. But I will point out that we're in the pickle we're in because nobody wanted to raise taxes here. Nobody wanted to be able to forward fund the maintenance and deferred maintenance or the capital replacement of our buildings and our infrastructure and our water. Like we just can't do that anymore.
I agree and I disagree. Okay, I agree that we're in that pickle. I disagree because that pickle we're in is because we did not raise user fees to the amounts that we should have been to replacement stuff, not just taxes.
But you can't, you don't,
and we have looked at,
I don't know how you put user fees on the public safety building.
But I not on every, the three entities you just talked about could be user fees.
Right.
Not taxes at all. Those three entities right there could have been, user fees should have been going up with the amount of money that it takes to replace stuff.
We do have the ability, if we want to, if this is something that the assembly wanted to go for, is say any revenue that is generated by this 0.5% has to be used for capital improvements and major maintenance. It can't be used toward operating or, you know, capital replacement or capital improvements or major maintenance. We absolutely can track that separately. We absolutely can say to the public that's what it's being used for. It is not going to go to operating.
Is the only way we know the total financial activity of a business is by an audit, or do they report their total sales when they remit the sales tax?
We believe stuff is being vastly underreported. And we've had money in the budget for the last 3 years to perform sales tax audits, which have not been done. And as soon as we get a new finance director on board, that's going to be one of the priorities, is to get those done.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Patty brings up a very good point. I was already going to say that. Until we can tell what is slipping through the cracks or whatever, we can't do anything. I mean, I can't see where you can keep doing stuff without knowing where it's going. I mean, if people aren't reporting, or if you have businesses in town that don't even submit sales taxes at all, that, which we know there are people that are doing that.
One of the things that I think I've mentioned mentioned before that I would like to do is there's nothing in this community that requires you to have a city business registration or a sales tax registration. There's nothing. I mean, if the state requires you to have a state business license to do business. I have no idea if the businesses in this community have a state business license. I don't know if they have the occupational licenses they're supposed to have to be running the businesses they're running. Most people probably do, but a lot probably don't. And if, now, I mean, this adds work. I'm not going to tell you there's not work involved here. But if you have a city business registration or a city sales tax registration, then anybody doing business in the community is required to register, and you know from that registration whether someone is filing taxes or not. Or you have, as much as I hate to say this, you have the ability to find somebody if they are not, you know, if they haven't registered for sales tax collection and remittance, or they haven't registered as a business. You have the ability to do that. So it's difficult because we can go on to the state website. The state of Alaska has a website where all of the people who are registered, you know, Alaska registered businesses in Wrangell are there. So we could look at that and say, okay, well, who's this? We're not getting a sales tax report from them, and try to do some enforcement that way. But it'd be great, although more work, to try to get people to register here.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I want our house straight before we go attacking somebody else's house.
Whose house?
The city, it's a phrase, okay? I want us to be whole. We want to know that our finance director is in place. We do our audits on people that, you know, you can't start going out and doing audits and all that stuff if we don't know what we're doing either. I mean, we don't have a finance director. So, I mean, I don't want people to think all of a sudden that the city is just going to start throwing audits everywhere. And then we don't have no place to put it. We have no, you know, ability to look at the end game.
Oh, I agree with you. There isn't the capacity to do it right now. That's why I said it would be a priority once the finance director's on board.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, please.
If the state does institute a sales tax, has there been any rumbling from the state about the fact that there will be revenue sharing back to the communities off of that sales tax?
No.
I haven't heard any rumblings, Lisa.
Not since this first came out when they
right.
talked about it.
And I keep coming back to this, and I may be wrong, but I even believe that if the state comes out with a sales tax, is there not a cap on overall combined municipal and state sales tax?
And I think we're
and
at it.
And well, and the other thing is if they do a unified state sales, so the state comes out, they could do, say, we're going to do a unified one, that you get X amount in the municipality, the state gets the rest, that would dramatically decrease from, I'm sure, our 7%. And Dan, Representative Arteas mentioned something about that to me at one point, that they could do a combined thing.
Well,
where
there's concern that the state might say, we're going to collect sales tax for everybody. So rather than you collecting locally, everything's going to be remitted to the state, and then we're going to report back to you.
That is a scary thought.
But
yeah, it's not well thought out, and it doesn't have broad-based support. I mean, we have our largest city in the state doesn't even have any sales tax. So, I mean, what the heck, right? So.
And they're going to fight that tooth and nail.
Okay, well, I wanted to float those ideas out there for you guys, but that pretty much wraps up the conversation I had or the comments I had regarding sales tax stuff. If you want to go to the other page that you had in your little packet, this is a overview of general fund revenues and transfers in. And I just wanted to go over those with you. So we are anticipating property taxes in the amount of just over $2.1 million. Property tax penalty and interest, no change. The sales tax amount that I have in here, again, this is 68% of total revenue. That's the same number, 3-year average, basically. And then the marijuana tax revenue and penalty and interest is blacked out because we can't show individual vendors. But I want to be clear about something. the sales of the finished product at the dispensary charge sales tax, and it's remitted to us and accounted for in our sales tax revenue. The marijuana tax that you are seeing here as a separate line item is the excise tax. Mm-hmm. That's the tax that's charged on stuff that is grown locally and sold. So there is far less of that than there is of the finished product that's sold. So the main revenue source to us from the marijuana dispensary, from marijuana sales in the community, is sales tax, and that's wrapped into the numbers that we have for you.
There's nothing external with alcohol sales, correct? Because they're not.
No, actually, thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to have you turn your sheet over. And where is it here? Maybe I missed it. Hang on.
I think it's on the front.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. It's under state and
it's
federal.
On the front. Yeah.
Do you see liquor tax share revenue there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you see 2019 actual $10,700. You see 2020 zero.
Mm-hmm.
See 2021 year-to-date actual zero. So I called the state and said, actually, I called our lobbyist and I said, Ray, we've been getting money for years for this is a share of the liquor license fees is what
right.
It is. We've been getting this money for years. We still have liquor licenses in town for sure. How come we're not getting this revenue? So he got me the appropriate name of the people to call. So I called and they said, well, you didn't get your money in 2020 because you didn't submit any of the reports. And I said, what do you mean? You have to submit a quarterly report saying what activity, basically what the police department has to do is submit a quarterly report showing their stops for liquor-related things, like DUIs and things to prove that we're actually enforcing the laws associated with being under the influence. And I said, well, did you send notification to the borough that you weren't getting those reports? Yep, got sent to the police department. And when we didn't get an email response, I said, it probably went to the former chief's email. When we didn't get a response, we sent a letter to the police department. I said, you don't send something to, like, the highest elected official. And the response was, how could we possibly be responsible for knowing who the elected official is? And
I get stuff like that.
I know.
I get notification of things that are expiring from the sewer plant, for
right.
goodness sakes.
So what I can tell you is I got the information. Our current chief hadn't received any of the information. I got the current information. He is going to do the reports. We're going to get those in. We will get our money for FY21 because it's before the end of the fiscal year, and we'll get it for the whole year. But 2020, because the fiscal year is over, that's a loss for us. So I'm sorry about that. I had no idea that was an obligation.
Hmm. No.
Anyway, PERS on behalf revenue. This is something I don't have any idea how to track this. I'm working on how to figure this out, where this revenue comes into and how it gets posted in our system. We've made an estimate based on the formula that is in the staff spreadsheet for this year on what PERS on behalf revenue will be. And as soon as we have that information, we'll get it to you. But that's why it's in yellow.
Can you explain what that is? Is that how there's liability?
Yes, it does.
And that comes from the state government?
It comes from the state,
yeah.
And then they take that money and hand
it. Hand it back. Yeah.
Right, that's
yeah. right back where it
yes.
came from.
Okay.
Municipal assistance revenue, that's community revenue sharing. And this is what we budgeted, what we've got actual, and then what we're expected to get next year. We got a spreadsheet from AML, so that's where that number came from. I made a guess. We've gotten anywhere from $8,200 previously to $13,000 in liquor license fees, so I just took an average and put $9,000 in there for next year. PILT, this is an expectation for what we have not received our PILT payment yet. I expect that very soon, but we're budgeting the same for next year as we anticipated this year.
Why was the actual only $10,700?
I think that's a carryover from last year that got posted to this year's budget, but we haven't received our PILT payment this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we should be getting that this month. The other thing I want to bring to your attention here under state and federal is the ARPA funds. So I have this in the general fund right now. That's the $485,984 from the American Recovery and whatever act it is. So this is the money we're getting direct from the feds. And that money, the assembly, as I said, I have it parked here in the general fund right now. That money can be used for a number of different things. It can be used to offset lost revenues. That's a specific thing it can be used for. So revenues that we lost, like at the Nolan Center for Parks and Rec or for DMV, to backfill for those revenues, we can use it for that. It can be used for water and sewer projects. It can be used for community grants, those sorts of things, for economic recovery for your community. And it can also be used for COVID mitigation, which hopefully we're not going to need to use it for. But that is one-time funding, and we are going to be registering online to receive that money. We will get it in two tranches. I think it's I don't know if it's a 70% payment and a 30% payment or 50-50, but that will be coming here shortly.
If it's like the school, it's two-thirds, one-third.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the school got 640 total.